It's time for This Week in WordPress, episode number 345, entitled Where's Miriam? It was recorded on Monday the 18th of August 2025. My name's Nathan Wrigley. I'll be joined today by my co-host Michelle Frechette, also by Dave Gray, very graciously standing in at the last minute, and then also by Miriam Schwab, and then not, and then she's back. And so it goes during the episode. We are a WordPress podcast, and so guess what? We talk a lot about WordPress. There's a few bits and pieces dropping in Gutenberg, so we mentioned those. We also spend quite a long time talking about the state of the WordPress community. Has it deteriorated over the last year? Or can we sense that there's some positive news in different locales and amongst different age groups? There is loads of events coming up, and helping organise those is definitely on the agenda this week. We also talk about Rocket.net and its skyrocketing profitability. And also we get into the bits and pieces in the plugin space. There's some new things that have dropped, and it's all coming up next. That and more on This Week in WordPress. This episode of the WP Builds podcast is brought to you by GoDaddy Pro, the home of managed WordPress hosting that includes free domain, SSL, and 24/7 support. Bundle that with the Hub by GoDaddy Pro to unlock more free benefits to manage multiple sites in one place, invoice clients, and get 30% off new purchases. Find out more at go.me/WPBuilds. And by Bluehost. Redefine your web hosting experience with Bluehost Cloud. Managed WordPress hosting that comes with lightning-fast websites, 100% network uptime, and 24/7 priority support. With Bluehost Cloud, the possibilities are out of this world. Experience it today at bluehost.com/cloud. And by Omnisend. Do you sell your stuff online? Then meet Omnisend. Yes, that Omnisend. The email and SMS tool that helps you make 73 bucks for every dollar spent. The one that's so good, it's almost boring. Hate the excitement of rollercoaster sales? Prefer a steady line going up? Try Omnisend today at omnisend.com.
Hello, hello, hello. Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, all of the other goods, them as well. Good, everything. Hello, it's episode number 345 of This Week in WordPress. That's quite a lot. I don't know how many years that is. Anybody do that calculation quickly? It's quite a few years. Thanks, Dave. I appreciate it. But we're back. We're here every Monday, pretty much, apart from, you know, when there's holidays and things like that. But we are away next week because I'm getting on a plane and heading over to Portland in Oregon. To go to WordCamp US. So we'll be absent from next week. But barring any things like that, we're here pretty much every week. Really appreciate it. If you want to join us in the comments, that's what keeps this show going. It's lovely to have these guests, but it's also lovely to have the comments. Do you see how much sucking up I'm doing already? Head to this URL. Go here, wpbuilds.com/live. Thanks, Dave. What a pro. Look at him, straight in there with the finger. That's going to be the show title. Already, that's the winner. That, already, yeah, he's straight in there with the finger. It doesn't sound good. wpbuilds.com/live. Bring your friends and relations and all of that with you. And drop us a comment. It really keeps the show going forward. Really appreciate anybody that does that. Once again, wpbuilds.com/live. If you do end up there, there's a video player, probably where you're watching this, or you might be watching on YouTube. But if you go to that page, then you've got two options. On the right-hand side on a desktop or underneath on a mobile is a YouTube embedded comments. So you need to be logged into Google for that. If you don't want to do that, if you're not into Google, then go to the player itself. And in the top right-hand corner is a little button which says live chat or something like that. And you can post your comments anonymously in there. So one more time, wpbuilds.com/live. Okay, as always, I'm joined by three people. I have to say, Tim Nash was going to be with us, but he's not feeling very well. So Tim, I hope that you get better. I hope you're feeling better soon. He said he was heading straight back to bed. So it sounds pretty nasty. But yeah, good luck. I hope that you're feeling all right later. Stepping into the breach for that is Dave, and we'll get to know Dave in just a moment. But before that, over there, co-host for today, Michelle Frechette. Hello.
Hello.
Your video, for my part, is laggy, but your audio is not, so that's completely fine. Sometimes it's just bad for one and not for the other. And when it all ends up getting recorded on the other end, it usually comes out all right. But how are you doing anyway?
I am doing very well, thank you.
Good. Good, good, good. I will read Michelle's bio. Here we go. Michelle Frechette, as you can see on the screen, is the Executive Director of Post Status. In addition to that, Michelle is the podcast barista at WP Coffee Talk, co-founder of Underrepresented in Tech, creator of WP Speakers and WP Career Pages. She also co-founded Sponsor Me WP and Speed Network Online. She is, of course, an author, influencer, and a frequent organizer and speaker at WordPress and tech events. And she's living outside of Rochester, New York, where she is into taking photos of nature. If you want one URL to sort of sum it all up, head to meetmichelle.online. And in fact, in just a minute, we'll find out a new thing that Michelle's launched because she's got so much spare time. So we'll find out about that.
I've learned the trick, though, to getting things done as partners. If you don't do it all yourself, I can get done so much faster.
Yeah. I nearly once wrote a book called How Not to Start Stuff. And but obviously the clue is in the title. I never got around to it. That's actually quite a good joke. I like that.
Book on procrastination was never published.
My idea was to produce basically a blank book with no advice in it at all. It was just like, you know, don't start. I was terrible. When I was a bit younger, I used to start things all the time. And honestly, this is true. This is not entirely true, but it's basically true. This podcast is the single thing in my life that I can point to and say, yeah, I kept doing it. I've been a real creature of kind of starting things, losing interest, doing something else in all sorts of ways, you know, career and what have you. And so, there we go. That's the one thing I've started. Right. Okay, Dave Gray is joining us today. He's the one that's stepping in for Tim Nash, and so I appreciate that. Last minute, I really appreciate it, Dave. How are you doing?
Yeah, good to be back yet again.
Yeah, thank you. I'll read Dave's bio, which was put together in just a moment. Dave has a sixth sense that he'd be on the interwebs today when he put his Google t-shirt on from WordCamp EU this morning. Oh, is it still on? I can't see. Yes? No, maybe. He's the man behind Friendly Web Guy Plugins, which has recently had a rebrand from our WP Plugins. And he's, as it kept having to be spent out, Dave is still buzzing from his first sale of ClickTok, his latest plugin. Bravo, Dave. We'll show that on the screen in a moment, but that's my feeling.
Yeah. That's like selfless promotion.
No, that's great. That is great. And finally, Miriam Schwab. It's been a while. She's down there somewhere. How you doing, Miriam?
I'm good. How are you?
Yeah, good, good. Miriam is the head of WordPress at Elementor, where she connects the company with the broader WordPress ecosystem and community. She's a longtime contributor to the WordPress space, active in community events and discussions, and a frequent speaker at WordCamps and industry conferences around the world. Before joining Elementor, Miriam co-founded Stratic, which was a static WordPress platform focused on security and performance, which was later acquired by Elementor. Earlier in her career, she founded and led one of Israel's top WordPress development agencies. Yeah, nice. You see, this whole thing is full of people who have managed to do loads in their life. And then there's me.
I thought of another thing you started.
Oh.
Your family.
Yes, I managed to stick with that. Yeah, thank you.
Oh, they're still around.
Yeah, they're still here. Yeah. I try ever so hard to, with that
we
as
all
well.
Do.
So, exactly. Okay, so thank you. There's our panel today. As I said, if you want to join us, head to wpbuilds.com/live, and we'll get into the bits and pieces in a moment. Let's just see if anybody's dropped in a comment. A couple of people have. That's really nice. Thank you for joining us. This must be Ryan. Ryan from Influence WP is joining us from sunny and mild Charlotte, North Carolina in the USA. Thank you. Dave Dunn joining us. I'm imagining he's in, where's Sokoto, Nigeria? Dave Dunn's normally in London because he comes to the WordPress London meetup that I help co-organize. So that's interesting. Oh, nice.
David, and thanks for joining us all the way from Nigeria. Elliot Sowersby is literally down the road from me. If I had enormous Thor-like hands, I could throw a pebble and he would be able to catch it. He's about 10 miles away, which is pretty close.
And yet, when was the last time you saw him?
Never seen Elliot, ever. You know, I'm not entirely sure he's real. He's got a plug-in though, so I think it's quite likely he is. He's got a great plug-in, Turnstile. If you want to put Turnstile from Cloudflare onto your protect your WordPress forms and things like that, Elliot is the responsible. Rely WP or WP Rely, I can't remember which way around. Michelle Frechette, there you go. There's Michelle. 64 degrees Fahrenheit, 18 degrees in sunny Rochester. Marcus, hello. What's that?
Is it finally we're not baking here anymore?
No, exactly. We've got the same today. It's reprieve. Cloudy. It's typical English weather. Marcus Bennett says, only a week to go until I get to see your beautiful faces in person. Happy Monday. Thank you. That's really nice. Dave Dunn joining us again. Dave has other names in today's show. Oh, friendly web guy. Dave, A-Team Gray. What's the significance of that? What do you mean?
Relations to help when you have to call someone.
Oh, got it. Okay. Anybody under the age of 30, don't even just not.
Don't even try.
It was a really bad TV show, but it was addictive. I used to watch every episode. This is true about me, says Dave, and I have plans to start so many things, but never get around to them. This could be a whole show, right? Just talk about all the things that you never.
I have a list
finished.
Too.
Yeah. Good morning, says James Lau. Nice. Taking a nice walk, I'm guessing, around town right now.
Yes.
63 degrees outside. And Jackson. From a balmy southern Italia. Thank you. Keep the comments coming in. Really appreciate it. That's great. Right, here we go. Here's all the bits and pieces. First of all, some self-promotion. This is our website. I do this every week. Put your email address into this little form field here, and we will spam you like no other company has done ever before. You're going to regret it so bad. No, don't. Put your email in there, and we'll send you two emails a week. One on a Tuesday when we parcel what we're about to do now as a podcast episode. And then one on a Thursday when we release the regular podcast episode. You can see from here the Tim Nash, who was supposed to be on the show. It was the latest episode. We had an episode where we talked about the rise of AI in the WordPress space. So you can go and check that out. The other thing to mention is, and Dave, thankfully, has stepped into the breach here. If you would like to be a guest on the show, I'm trying this experiment out. I tried it out last week and I had quite a lot of people fill it out. So I'm doing it again, and maybe after this one we'll stop. If you fancy coming onto the show and you'd like to volunteer yourself as a guest, head to this URL. It's wpbuilds.com and then / and then the acronym for this show, This Week in WordPress, TWIW. I should have had a slide for that. wpbuilds.com/TWIW. Fill out the form, and we'd love to have you on. If you're capable of filling out a form, willing to talk about WordPress and can start stuff, then join us. We'd love to have you on. So yeah, wpbuilds.com/TWIW. Okay. Front loading the show this week are the guest contributions. So the first one up is, can you believe it? Michelle has a new thing. This one is called WP Wiki. Tell us more, Michelle.
So along the lines of procrastination, I have owned the URL for over 10 years.
Oh, that is a long procrastination. Yeah.
It was. I, by myself, did not possess the development chops to actually pull this site off. And so I, at the same time that I was reaching out to different people to start things like Sponsor Me WP, thank you, Marcus, and Speed Network Online, thank you, June, I reached out to Corey Moss and said, hey, would you have any interest in working on this project with me? And so he said, heck yeah, I got time, let's do it. And so we decided we would start working on this. And we had a lot of meetings to talk about what it should look like and how it should behave. Excuse me. And we soft rolled it out with a few people to test it, do some beta testing, and worked out some of the bugs while we did that. And now it's available to the greater community at large. It is a wiki that should be and is so far contributed to by our community. And so the whole idea is anybody can register and then create an article. So Miriam, go ahead and put Elementor in there, because this is not something that is run by WordPress.org or WordPress.com. And so the community can put anything in that they want. It is moderated. So if it gets spammy or if it's too salesy, we're going to say, can you please rewrite this so that it doesn't look like you're trying to sell us something as opposed to be informational. Every listing should be about what you are, not trying to sell what you are. And so the whole idea is you can add an article in there. There is one for WP Builds, I believe, already.
Oh, yeah. Some clown wrote one for that. Yeah.
But I will say, if you go back to that add an article page, enough people were perplexed with what to do and how to do it that I actually created a video on Friday. So you can... if you are a little confused about it, go ahead and register. It tells you how to register, add articles, and you can sponsor articles. And sponsoring an article allows you to lock that article. So, for example, if Elementor wanted to put an article in here about what Elementor is using their own branding, of course, then somebody else, because it's a wiki, could go in and edit it. But you could sponsor the article, which would allow it to be locked, which means other people can't edit your article. So we did put a little bit of monetization in there that way to allow companies to maintain their branding, especially since some companies, not Elementor, but some companies do sometimes have a little bit of a negative connotation in the community, and people have a tendency to want to poo on them, I will say, that we wanted to make it so that this is not a place where people can maliciously go in and edit anybody else's anything, or not even maliciously, but mistakenly change things to incorrect information. And so we're allowing you to sponsor your own. If I wanted to write an article about Elementor, I could not lock that article because I do not have an Elementor email address. So we are moderating these. We are making sure that everything is on the up and up. I'm only using Elementor because Miriam's in the chat today. But it's true for any other organization. And so that's the whole idea, is that it should be a repository of articles about information, history. I've put some articles in there already about, you know, the difference between posts and pages and WordPress.org and WordPress.com and things like that, so that it's not just a listing of people and organizations. It should be something that is informative for the whole community. I think if you scroll, I think we already have 4 pages of articles.
Yeah, it looks like it.
Yeah, 4 or 5. Mm-hmm.
Submissions automatic pressable. Obviously, I submitted something to sort of test it. Although,
Bobbed in.
I was completely incapable of understanding what I was supposed to do. And so, I submitted something which was completely off the point. And Michelle got
perhaps you and Bob are the perhaps you and Bob are the reason there's a video explaining how to do all of that.
I have the capacity to read, I just can't do it. You know, if I get a letter from the bank, it's like, oh. You know, I wish bank statements and things like that had a TLDR at the top, because I just can't get through stuff like that. So I apologize. Yeah. And then I resubmitted.
No worries.
The URL is wpwiki.org. Nice. Like you say, you've had that
Thank
one for
you.
A while. Wpwiki.org. No hyphens or anything like that.
Nope.
And you can go register an account and then obviously follow the add an article link. And hopefully over time we'll have some place to go if you're inexperienced with WordPress or whatever your product or service may be. Thank you. That's great.
And if you have feedback, we're absolutely still in the beginning stages. Happy to receive feedback.
Thank you.
Before you move on, I do want to mention today is the last day to sign up for WP Trail Buddies. So if you are coming to WordCamp US, I do have more veterans signed up for this than I have newbies, but that doesn't matter. Anybody who's interested in making a connection and having a new friend, I am looking for more people to do this. Today is the last day. Tomorrow, you will get your emails announcing to each other who your trail buddies are, so that next week when you arrive at WordCamp US, you have the ability to meet up and have a friend before you even begin.
So just to summarize, Michelle's initiative here is to combine people who've been and have experience and, you know, don't have the heebie-jeebies about turning up and wandering around and being a part of that event. For people who perhaps have a little bit more of a concern, maybe it's the first time you've done it and you just feel that you would like a bit of support, then WP Trail Buddies, which you can find at wptrailbuddies.wordpress.com. If you head over there, last day today to get yourself signed up. So you're more looking for attendees who've not been there than people who...
Correct.
Right, okay.
Okay. But we will do this again for future camps. So
nice.
If it's something you're interested in and you're going to Asia or Europe, or maybe we'll open it for Canada, it all remains to be seen. But yes.
So apropos of that, Elliot Sowersby says he's considering going to WordCamp Europe next year. Not too sure yet. Maybe we'll finally meet there. Oh, right. Yeah. Well, I could be your trail buddy, Elliot, and see if you actually exist. You're not paper thin. And
I'll probably meet him before you do, which will be the funniest part.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, like random family news. This is great. James Lau, his son turned 7 today. Happy birthday to your son. That's lovely. What a nice piece of news. Whoa, great. Okay, let's move on. Let's find out a little bit about something that Miriam is bringing to the story today. So this is called Angie. I presume I'm pronouncing that correctly. The first agentic AI plugin for WordPress. First of all, Miriam, for people that don't know what agentic means, just clear that bit up, because I think I'm confused by what agentic means.
It's a good question, and I keep trying to explain it badly. So I will try again.
Try goodly.
Well, I'll explain what Angie does, and then maybe through that it explains what it means, like why it's agentic. So Angie, it acts like your website building and management buddy, and sits with you in your WordPress admin and allows you to ask it or tell it to do all sorts of things that you want to do in WordPress. The advantage of working with Angie to do that is there's a few things. One is, let's say there's something in WordPress that you know how to do it, but it involves like 5 to 10 clicks to get there, whatever. You can just be like, Angie, change my permalink structure, or Angie, add a user, or, you know, all that kind of stuff. And it does it very quickly. You can also do bulk actions. But another thing that's cool about Angie is that it understands she understands context. And so if you don't necessarily know exactly what you want to do or how you want something to turn out, you can give it like information, and then she'll like think for you and suggest changes to make and even make them for you in your site. So it can save a lot of time, help people do things they couldn't do before, because, you know, interfaces can be overwhelming, hard to figure out. There's a learning curve and things like that. It makes things much more accessible to everyone, like managing their site, but not just managing it. I think it will give people the tools to have greater success with their website, because it can also, for example, analyze statistics, analytics, activity on your site, things like that, and give you suggestions on ways to improve it and do better, optimize your pages, etc. Like there's a lot that can happen with agentic AI tools in general, and specifically with Angie, that it's now in early access, so we're seeing how people are using it and what it's capable of doing, and it's really quite cool, I have to say.
Speaking of the early access bit, Daveden has just made this comment. Sorry, it's going to... Oh, no, that's great. It says, what's the timeline for the public release?
So, first of all, if you want to try it out and test it, obviously not on a production site, you can just sign up for the early access. So be in touch with me, and we can let you try it out, and we love your feedback if you are testing it. The public release is scheduled for September, let's say early to mid-September. At WordCamp US, our entire focus is going to be on Angie. So, everything. Our booth is completely oriented towards Angie and AI, and all of our activity there, even our swag, will be around AI, and specifically around Angie. We'll be doing demos. We're going to be collaborating with some other sponsors who are there. We'll be at their booths as well. Demoing Angie for attendees and whoever wants to see. So we're excited to show people what it can do.
I'm presuming because you've built it, I'm presuming it hooks into some of the various different things that are unique within your, you know, page builder. So for example, I'm guessing it can do Elementor type things, which maybe a generic AI wouldn't be able to do.
So it has great, excellent capabilities when it comes to Elementor, but actually Angie's agnostic. So
yeah, I was looking at the logos here. I can see that you've got the WordPress logo, the Gutenberg logo, the Woo logo, and obviously the Elementor logo. Yeah,
it works with all of those. You can use it to manage your Gutenberg site. We implemented some Woo capabilities that are really quite cool. Also, time-saving, bulk update, you know, products, change products, add sales and coupons and all sorts of things like that. It also works already to a certain degree with ACF. And hopefully we should be able to announce some other integrations by the time WordCamp US rolls around, which is very soon. Some other products in the space are creating their own MCPs. So MCPs are their own kind of, again, it's hard to explain these
yeah,
things.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Yeah. Like go Google it.
AI, so look into it and get yeah. their capabilities and their tools to work with Angie. So that's coming as well. But obviously, yes, with Elementor, it has very, very strong and powerful capabilities.
I want to ask loads more questions, but it'll become an interview episode about Angie. So let's leave that for another time. We can definitely do a podcast about it. But okay. So there you go. At the moment, early access, if you go to elementor.com/pages/, and then the last three words are hyphenated, Angie early access, and Angie is A-N-G-I-E. I'll put a link in the show notes so that you can find that. But
if you want to try to remember Angie, just think the Rolling Stones song, Angie.
Oh, yeah. Nice. Yeah. Nice. There. Well, it's been a long time since we've had singing on this podcast, and I thoroughly recommend it. That's great. Thank you so much. That's brilliant. There you go. Ross said, what did Ross say? Oh, I thought it was an Angie comment. Ross Wintle, hello. It's this time on Monday. Yeah, I'm on holiday, and I can also tune in. Good grief, Ross, is all I could say. It's your holiday, and you're tuning into this. That's superb. Thank you. You get a biscuit or a badge or something. When I see you next time, I'll pretend like I've made you a badge and pat you on the back or something like that. Thank you. Okay, last one. We had Dave on last week, and he mentioned this, but I thought, he's here. He's here at short notice, and he's obviously sold a license, so he's happy. Yeah. ClickTok version 1. What is ClickTok?
A simple time tracker that sits inside a WordPress install. So it's pretty much aimed for site builders. So if you're working on client site A, you can track what you're doing in there for building pages, posts, or maintenance things. Correctly track your time. So when it comes to the end of the month, you've got to invoice. You don't need to think, how much time did I actually spend? So you can actually invoice the correct amounts and make yourself hopefully more money.
Nice.
And by buying a license, me some money, which
I like it. That's great. What was really interesting is about 2.5 weeks ago, I did a podcast episode with Dave, and he told us all about the latest stuff that he's doing and all of that. And then he released this. And I said to him, you didn't mention that. He said, no, I hadn't thought about it then. He kind of came up with it about 12 days ago and just thought, well, I'll just crack on with that. And build
just make a couple of days because it waited for time for the cops. They're like, let's build something new. We've always been marketing or other promotion stuff. It's like, let's build more things.
Talented people like you. It's great. So there it is. You can see it. The URL, you've got to go to Dave's website, which is friendlywebguy.co.uk. That's where he's doing all of his marketing endeavors now. And if you click on the little plugins bit, then it's just there, ClickTok, amongst all of the other different bits and pieces that you can find. Most of them, I think it's fair to say, to do with the WordPress admin and tidying that up and making life a little bit easier on the inside of your WordPress install.
Yep.
Okay, there we go. Right, let's move on to the WordPressy stuff. Here we go. So this is on make.wordpress.org, and it's a summation of some bits and pieces which may or may not drop into Gutenberg, new in Gutenberg, and we get this piece of content quite a lot, but this came out just the last couple of days. And I've just highlighted a couple of things. You can read it yourself. Again, links in the show notes. But data views. So imagine you're in your WordPress website, and at the moment you've got this fairly poor set of data view. So if you go to a post, you can either view it as like, I don't know, you can view it in just one of a couple of ways. The media library, again, there's just a couple of options. They're fairly constrained, a little bit unusable really in the modern world. Data views is an endeavor to make everything searchable and filterable. So you'll be able to come up with your own view of your own WordPress data. I don't know, let's say you've got a real estate website and you want to just filter down the list with houses only over a certain amount. That'll all be possible in the native version of WordPress, the vanilla version of WordPress. And a couple of things which have dropped recently is you can have group results, which is kind of cool. So you could say there's an image on the screen. If you can see that, that's great. If not, then I'll describe it. It's the idea of this website's obviously got something to do with planets. And you can group content based upon, I don't know, whether a planet is a gas giant, for example, or an ice giant. In other words, you can put content into little groups and data views will show that. Really, really useful, I think, in certain scenarios. Kind of thing you might want to do on the front end, but now it's going to be available on the back end. So that's kind of cool. There's also I don't really know really what the intention of this is, but in writing mode, which is kind of like a distraction-free mode is probably the best way to describe it in WordPress. That's been there for a little while, but now you'll be able to shuffle through a bunch of different styles. So you'll be able to click a button and it will just swap out automatically the font for random fonts and things. Again, not sure what the utility of that is, but, you know, it might be the vibe that you want. And that's kind of all I had from that, but you can go and check that out. Does anybody want to mention anything on there, that, especially that data views thing? If not, I'll move on. That's a big no. I'll move on in that case. Okay. Next one then is the developer article. And Justin Tadlock typically writes this piece. He wrote this a couple of days ago, and it's a few bits and pieces that are coming into core. We mentioned this previously. So we've mentioned a lot of the things that are coming up in this article. So I'll only mention a couple that we haven't mentioned on previous shows. And very keen to know what your thoughts are, panel, on this. Do we need more blocks in the basic install of WordPress? Because there seems to be a push at the moment to get a ton more in. So Matthias, yes, got his name right. There, thank you. That's the first time this year. And he has basically suggested that if you want to push WordPress out to inexperienced users and their purpose is to do writing and build websites, the blocks that we've got at the moment don't satisfy that, and it's quite frustrating because you might need to go out and find a third-party suite. Wouldn't it be better if there was a basic implementation of just about everything that really you need? And so this is the idea, is to come up with loads and loads of new blocks that would satisfy that. So I think that's kind of interesting. And then there's some stuff about block bindings. What do you reckon to this one, though? Let's just stick with this one. Does WordPress have enough in it already? To my mind, when you look at the UI of a vanilla WordPress install and you look at the array of blocks, there's already way too many. And most of them are completely useless for just about every use case, unless, for example, I don't know, you have a podcast that you want to launch with Pocket Casts, or you want to launch Vimeo videos. There's blocks for all of it. And Animoto, what the heck? How is that in there? Now, I don't even know if that service still exists, but there's a block for that. All of these different things. However, the endeavor here is to get things so that writers and website builders have all of the things at their disposal. I don't know. Maybe it's not. It's over to you if you want to talk about
it. Can you imagine if the WordPress plugin repository stopped at 20,000 plugins because that was enough?
Yeah. Yeah, I know what you mean.
So, I mean, we're constantly evolving. So it makes sense that we would continue to evolve with blocks as well.
Yeah, I mean, some of them, if I go to the, let me see if this is the actual article. Let me just pull this one up if it's the GitHub. No, that's not the one. Here we go. It might be this one. Let's just see if we can find. Yeah, here we go. So here's some of the suggestions. And they are fairly basic, right? Like the icon block. There is no icon block in core. Honestly, like maybe you are deliberately not using icons on your website, but probably you are. If you're building a website, I imagine that icons are a part of it somewhere. We talked about this one last week, the playlist block, sliders and carousels. I still don't know what stretchy text is, but anyway, that's apparently a thing. Tabs and accordions, mega menus, marquee block, so that's like scrolling text, you know, that sort of goes from one side of the screen to the other, left to right, right to left. Table of contents, time to read, breadcrumbs, dialogue block. Doesn't this seem like it should have been in there from the very start? I mean, even my like CRM that I use has got stuff like this, and it's not a writing interface, but it's all got this kind of stuff in it.
They all seem useful. If WordPress is moving in a direction where you shouldn't have to know how to code things, right? Like time to read, then it's great for there to be a block for it. Yeah. A lot of these exist already in Elementor, for example, and they exist because people wanted them and use them. You know, not everybody uses everything, but, you know, we also don't, I remember the days, I mean, I think we're still in those days of the themes that had 1,000 options and features, yeah. Remember? It's like, you don't want to be like, overloading the product with too much stuff, but assuming blocks are being developed in a way that, you know, it's only activating what you need when you need it, hopefully, then why not? It can be helpful to someone. I mean, also in my early days of building with WordPress, I remember being thrilled when I found a plugin that could do something for me, like easily without having to code it. And I just dropped it in and I got the functionality. And with blocks being the direction for the present and the future, it's great for to have all these options. I think it only becomes overload if they're not well organized and findability is hard. And surfacing great ones is also like not happening, right? In the plugin repo, we have some measure of popularity, right? There's a popular tab. Someone's like, I don't know where to start. And then they can go there because you see what is most widely used. So maybe something like that could happen with blocks to just help people get started or help people find things they want. But I don't think there's a reason to limit the types and number of blocks. If they serve people and give them functionality and they're useful, great.
Yeah. I mean, especially the things, this is talking about core as well. So what would ship with core? A lot of the third party vendors of blocks, I don't know if the same is true with Elementor, but there's like a whole UI for switching things on and off. So you go to the, I don't know, like the available blocks page or something like that. And you just kind of turn off. I'm never going to use that. Never going to use that. And you do that one time. And then presumably as a new block would be added to core, that would be something that you would be redirected to do again. Look, we've got this new block. We've switched it on. But remember, you can go back here and switch off. And you don't get that kind of overwhelm where you're, you know, the sidebar is full of stuff that you're never using. Maybe an experience like that would be quite cool. Anyway, Dave, Michelle, have you got anything on that? Just
I was going to say, if you had more blocks in there and had some other UI to say, real, real common blocks and some other slightly experimental ones, you could say, enable those experimental ones or more niche bits on that side, then yeah, it would make things easier to see on that side. So yeah, I agree with what you said.
Yep. Michelle?
I already said my say.
Okay. In which case, I think that one in particular, so Justin's obviously written a piece all about the different things that are happening in the developer community. That seems like a good one, and it feels like it's got a little bit of traction going. As always, Justin's written a very long article, including updates to WordPress coding standards. It's now on version 3.2, so if you're a developer, there's some information in there. There's information about Playground and block bindings, but we've covered most of that in various different podcasts, so we'll press on from there. Mm-hmm. But I will also link in the show notes to this GitHub article. It's in the Gutenberg repository, and it's the number is 71026. So you can go and find that if you want to follow on from there. Okay. Oh, Miriam disappeared for a moment, but she's back. There she is.
Sorry, internet.
No, it's all right. No, it's fine. Okay, next one, we're off to Twitter. We don't often feature things on Twitter, but here we are. This is a post which was written by Jeff Chandler. If you don't know Jeff back in the day started the WP Tavern. It was then bought by Automattic, and people like Justin and Sarah Gooding stepped in and what have you. But Jeff has written a piece which kind of provoked me, at least anyway, to have some thoughts about it. And he says this, see what you think, dear audience members and panelists. As we approach the one-year mark since the keynote at WordCamp US 2024, and we'll cover that maybe a little bit later, do you feel that WordPress is in a better or worse space? So it's kind of a closed question. You've got a binary choice there, but you know, you can obviously add your own things. And then a few people kind of replied with some thoughtful things. So Courtney, who's been on the show a few times, has replied with, it's very different in some parts of the world. In Asia, few dared ask Matt or discuss such topics. In Europe, the room was, and she's used the word, appalled at the handling of project sustainability or regard for EU regulation. In North America, the concern is still around governance and privacy. Katie Keith, again, been on the show a few times. She thinks it's worse. I think usage is about the same, but the reputation is worse and people aren't as passionate about it as they were. As a community, we need to work together to advocate and advocate about it still being the ultimate CMS. So basically, this is the one-year on piece. So we're 1 year on since all of the bits and pieces happened at WordCamp US. We don't need to go over that old ground. What's your thoughts? What do you think? Do you think WordPress is still the space it is? I'm going to put my thoughts in quickly so that you don't feel quite so, I don't know, intimidated by that question, perhaps. I think that It's possibly in a slightly worse state from a community point of view. And what I mean by that is it definitely caused some disagreement with a lot of people. You know, a lot of people sort of fell out of love. There was a lot of politicking and a lot of people felt ostracized by that whole thing. It does feel like it's in a better place now than it was a few months ago. If you look at the core project, the actual software, that feels like it took a bit of a hit for a few months, but now it feels like it's really back and there's loads of mojo. If you just follow what's going on in WordPress news and things like that, that's way, way down than it was 12 months ago. In order to put this piece together, I trawl through just about everything and I pick my favorite 20 bits and pieces. A year ago, every week, I would trawl through hundreds of articles because there were hundreds to trawl through. Now, maybe there's 30 or something like that. So the interest from people publishing content around that space is just, it fell off a cliff and it never really came back. So it's a bit of a mixed bag. My personal opinion is the software is going nowhere. I feel very bullish about it. I'm confident. I'm still attending events and, you know, helping co-organize the WordPress, the WPLDN, the meetup that we have in London. And but I think Jeff's got a point. It does feel maybe that question's worth asking. So over to you, your turn. What do you reckon?
Well, I guess I'll jump in. I think we're at a place now, a year in from last year, where there's been some humility that has kind of been digested by a lot of the industry, where we can't take for granted our leading position. We can't take for granted that things will just continue to be the same. You know, even before that, there were already signs of that were concerning of, the way you described it, going from like 100 articles to 30. So it sounds like it was good then, but it seemed like there was less enthusiasm, less passion for the project, an aging project. We're aging. I'm aging. I've been in this space for a long time, and that means I'm like 20 years older than when I started. So already there were signs of concern, and then, you know, this upheaval didn't help. But I think it has led to a kind of regrouping and more positive proactivity in a way, which is hard to quantify, but that's just my sense. I did feel like it also led a lot of people to be like, I can't wait for others to do things. And my sense was there was like an upsurge of people creating really cool tools and innovation for WordPress since last year in a way that I didn't feel like we had seen, like all these random, but I don't mean random in a bad way, plugins just being added to the repo. People creating numerous plugins for the repo. Jono Alderson comes to mind as someone who created a few that are really useful and cool. And I'm not saying anything about him not doing it before anything, but like he's just an example of what I felt like there was more building and creativity and creation around our space as a result of, I think, all of us kind of feeling like we can't, it's not on someone else to do it. Like if we want WordPress to be what it was, then we need to build and there's like pain points to be solved and it helps.
Miriam froze for me. Is she frozen for you as well? She's deep in thought. She'll probably come. Oh, she's sort of trying to come back through. Bless her. On the audio, she's going to come through as a bit of a Dalek. What I'm going to do is I'm going to ask Miriam to refresh. Michelle, would you mind in the private? I don't know if she'll be looking in the private chat. I'm going to mute her in case she comes back, and I'll pass the baton to Dave quickly. But what do you think, Dave? Anything on that?
Yeah, probably it's in the same sort of basket because I'm still trying to invest time and effort into the WordPress space. I think, as you say, it's not going anywhere, but yeah, it's taken a big hit and people aren't quite recovering from it, but the bruising starting to heal a bit and people are kind of not moving on, but coping with kind of the new world. And as Miriam said, if we need innovation, we've got to start doing some stuff ourselves and stop taking things for sort of granted. So hopefully the community can sort of heal, and other key people might need to kind of try and make amends on that side. But
what's kind of curious to me is that you've jumped into like plugins, right, in the much more recent past, and so for you this debate is far, well, maybe it's not more important, but it's certainly, it's very, very raw. Because obviously if WordPress were to be in decline, that would directly affect what you've just embarked upon.
Yeah.
Does any of that kind of stuff keep you awake at night? Do you, you know, because everybody would like to be on a rising tide, right? You get in early, you hope the tide's going to rise, you go with it, the customer base swells and all of that. And it feels like basically what Jeff is saying is that over the last year, the tide has either stayed where it was or it's gone out a little bit. I think maybe that's where he's trying to go. Does that stuff bother you? Do you have thoughts around that?
Yeah, because that's why I kind of, while most of my efforts are more plug-in based, I've still kind of got my little mini ecosystem around kind of websites in general. So most of it is WordPress related, but there's a couple of side bits that are just more general website related on that side to try and diversify slightly on there. So not as much as sort of Katie and Barn Tooper going across to Shopify, but yeah, it's just kind of like a gentle toe in the water for another side project. So should the tide go out further, then they can kind of diversify or basically sort of hedge your bets. But yeah, as you say, WordPress isn't going anywhere. It might just get a bit more less ideal press on that side. But there's still people doing new sites on there, for us old folks that will still do new sites on that side. So frankly, even if I could get like 0.1% of the market share on some of those plugins, I'd be quite happy on that side.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Michelle, anything you want to add?
Yeah. So, I mean, if you go by the number of projects I've launched just this year alone, WordPress isn't going anywhere.
Yeah. Woohoo.
I am not concerned about the future of WordPress at this point. I think that we are on a very good trajectory. I think that we've been around for, 22 years now as a CMS. And so there's always going to be, in a history like that, some course corrections. There's always going to be, in a history like that, some times of unrest, I guess. And sometimes what you need in order to spur greatness is a little bit of a fray, I guess. I'm not sure what the right word is.
Oh, yeah.
Where we don't always agree on everything, right?
Yeah.
When everything is just always smooth sailing, you can become complacent. And it's easy to say, oh, this is here, this does what I want it to do, people are contributing, whatever. But when you have a little bit of an upheaval, it kind of shakes things up enough for people to be like, hey, wait a minute, maybe I should participate. Or maybe I'm done with this, in which case that's fine too, right? So we've always been someplace where people come and people go, and that's perfectly fine. That's what happens in any community, in any ecosystem. I no longer use Microsoft Word because I am all in on Google. Do you think Microsoft Word is worried that Michelle Frechette is not using, you know, Microsoft Word anymore? I don't think so. I don't think they're worried about that at all. So I think that there's just opportunities when things like this happen. And I think, you know, we're not even actually a full year in. We're at, 11 months since last WordCamp US. And so I think that we are actually not only recovering, but we're moving forward and thriving right now.
It's kind of interesting. There's going to be loads of, how to describe it? There's loads of through lines in this episode that I hadn't really realized until just now. So lots of the pieces that we're about to come on to will in some way come back to this piece, right? So I'll try to, as we mention them, I'll try to refer back to this kind of like worry that WordPress is in a spot of danger. With that in mind, let's just move on to something completely related to that. And the first one, therefore, would be events. Let's think about events for a minute. So these are just things that I found really easily. I didn't have to go looking for this at all. So here, as an example, if we're thinking about whether WordPress is, stalling as a piece of software, as a community, here's a few things which I think paint a picture that it's probably still going to be all right. So the first one is this, WordCamp Asia. They have now a call for organizers. You obviously have to log in. It's a Google form, so that's kind of broken on what you can see on the screen, but you get the point. If you would like to be involved in that, now is the time. But obviously that event is already mooted. In order for that event to happen, presumably the event space has been organized and paid for and all of that kind of stuff. So WordCamp Asia is a green light, and they're looking for organizers at the moment. Next one coming up very soon is WordCamp A, or you might describe it as WordCamp Canada. They are now looking for sponsors. It's going to be happening in October this year. So again, links will be in the show notes. Yeah, is it? Is it really over your birthday? Are you going?
October 15th. I'm speaker, yes.
Ah, nice, because Otto is not like a billion miles away from you, is it? It's relatively...
It's about a six-hour drive.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's great. So anyway, there's another event, a major event taking place. And if you would like to be a sponsor for that event, you can. More events. This one, this time in Scandinavia. This is Helsinki. WP Suomi. I probably butchered that word, but WordCamp in Suomi. It's happening in Helsinki. Later this year. It looks like it's now on the 6th of August, 2020. You're sorry, that was the date you had to submit your proposal. But anyway, the point is there's a new event happening that I had not heard of until very recently. And then finally, WordCamp Europe, probably the biggest of the lot, or at least it has been until recently. WordCamp Europe 2026 is now looking for organizers as well. Back to the WordCamp US thing, I think, that's not WordCamp US. We haven't got a WordCamp US one. Until a little while ago, it looked like the ticket numbers were really down, but I think they're now about to pass the 1,000 threshold.
They have. They're at 1,010.
Okay. So that's kind of interesting. So I was a bit concerned that number would be attended by, I don't know, 500-600 people, and it would feel really different. That now seems to be changing. However, here's the through line again. Student ticketing, the student ticket pricing for WordCamp US, I imagine has swelled that audience quite a lot in the recent past. You could get a ticket for, I think it was $25, and they had a big push to try and get students to attend. So that's kind of interesting. And then a little bit later.
That's great if they're getting young, new fresh people in the door. That's amazing.
Exactly that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And can you imagine if you're a college graduate at the minute, like how hard is it? Like that debate, like, do you want to go into AI or do you want to do a PHP based sort of CMS thing? You can imagine where the hotness is taking people at the moment, all the venture capital money and what have you. It's an easy one to go for, right? But it does appear that some of the initiatives are paying off, and people with a certain proclivity for what they want to do with their life and how they want to invest their time and the community that they want to be involved with and the philanthropic nature of things like WordPress. Yeah, you could make your $1 million over on AI, but maybe that's not the central part of what you want to do in life. Maybe you do want to do something a bit more philanthropic and altruistic.
It's not only about the philanthropic side of things. In a lot of college and university courses related to marketing and things like that, they'll teach the students how to use WordPress and often Elementor as well as their power tools for supporting their marketing efforts. So that's great. And that still continues to be the case. I'm sure AI is coming to play, but with AI becoming a strong component of WordPress, then we can be the best of all worlds, I think. Like, use WordPress, which is your power tool, a very robust CMS that has capabilities that a lot of other systems don't. Add to the mix AI, which makes it super user-friendly and you can do much more. It's like, it's a great thing to have students learning and using as their tool, and hopefully we'll see more of that. So I think that's going to be an advantage in the world of WordPress.
Then this is another sort of through line. So we talked about how student ticket pricing might have swelled the numbers in the more recent past. Obviously, time will tell. You know, if we go to WordCamp US and it's bereft of student-aged people, then we'll know that it wasn't that. But if we go and there's, I don't know, typically there isn't a lot of young people in that audience, but if we go and we see that there are quite a few, we'll know that that's worked. But here's something on the screen now, reported by the repository, which is definitely working. So this is WordPress Campus Connect. The article is entitled WordPress Campus Connect Quickly Growing with Global Events, Student Clubs, and Scholarships. And I'll just read the paraphrase. So Ray Moray, who will know if you listen to this podcast. 7th of August, she wrote this. Just 3 months since its official launch, WordPress Campus Connect is picking up serious momentum. Events have already taken place across the continent, three continents. Student clubs are beginning to form and contributors are rallying behind the initiative to help it grow. The first event of 2025 was held in Spain in May, followed by two more, one in Costa Rica and another in the Philippines. Two additional events are scheduled later this year in India and again in Costa Rica, with eight more currently in the planning stages. WP Campus Connect contributors have also been laying the groundwork to help students stay engaged with WordPress beyond the classroom, including new scholarship opportunities designed to help students attend flagship WordCamp. So again, there's that sort of like through line again. So stuff like this is really, really interesting. And I have noticed, I don't know if you've seen the same thing, if you look at where a lot of the plugin development is being done, and where a lot of the community engagement is being done, and where a lot of the contributor time is being done, a lot of it is coming from Africa and Asia. And it seems maybe it's kind of lost its way a little bit in North America and Europe, but it's like the pendulum has swung a little bit and it's a little bit more exciting in those locales. So anyway, that was a lot from me, but here we go. WP Campus Connect, if you wanted to talk about that.
So we actually supported the initial efforts at Campus Connect last year, and now we're supporting Campus Connect Ajmer and another one. We're just finalizing it there. They want Elementor licenses, which is great. Let people start using WordPress, and if they want to use Elementor, great, as their first like web building tool. Also, we're going to be supporting WordCamp Pisa, and if you remember, Mary Hubbard announced, I think she was the one who actually announced it, like a collaboration between WordCamp Pisa and university students getting credits, which is a really cool initiative. Yeah. So hopefully we're going to be sponsoring that WordCamp, and there's that kind of collaboration. So we see some really nice efforts around getting fresh faces into WordPress and into the ecosystem and using it. In general, like in terms of, like Elliot says here, people have been saying WordPress is declining for over 10 years. Totally. I think it's even longer. And it doesn't. And in fact, if you want like business proof of WordPress still having a very strong future, at least we think it does, you can see that Elementor has been launching many tools over the last year, all geared towards WordPress. Image Optimizer, SiteMailer, Angie, they're all WordPress tools. And we're optimistic about the future, and our business keeps growing with WordPress. So if some people need like hard data points, you can look at Elementor and other companies' investments in the WordPress space, and we continue to invest in it because it's a strong ecosystem.
I'll just read Elliot's comment in its entirety, because what's on the screen doesn't actually round it all off. It says, people have been saying WordPress is declining for 10 plus years. I remember friends would tell me when I was at uni in 2015 not to pursue WordPress and PHP, as it will be irrelevant in a few years' time. And obviously that is clearly not the case. Do you know what's curious though? Again, some of this is so difficult to sum up. It takes a panel of people like this to piece together these pieces and make it evident that these things are all happening, and they seem to have a positive cycle to them. So we've got student pricing for WordCamp US. We've got WP Campus Connect and all of the different bits and pieces that's going on there. We've got plugin authors. We've got the PISA thing, which is happening at university. Those kind of initiatives are taking off. There's a clear emphasis maybe on marketing with channels which are a bit cooler, like YouTube. Obviously, Jamie Marsland's contributions, he's been officially appointed to make those videos. So, you know, you're finding the utes where they are. But it doesn't kind of get, it never is it anywhere spelled out, because we don't really have that kind of marketing team that never kind of really took off. So it takes things like this. It takes a bunch of heads being knocked together to figure out. But in the background, I see that there is a lot going on, which is trying to make the project more sustainable, particularly towards locales where it's becoming increasingly popular. I think Asia and Africa, but also there's a real endeavor to try and get it into the hands of young people, let's go with that, and in many cases children at school, and also AI, a huge effort on behalf of the WordPress AI team to make all of the different pieces available to AI and MCPs and abilities and all of those kind of things that we've talked about. So I've kind of talked myself into a much more optimistic position in the last half an hour, which is quite nice, because this is what I do. So hopefully I'll be here.
That was easy.
Yeah, so this time next year. Anything else on that before we move on? PHP is dead, says expert on web IT. Oh, there you go.
PHP has also been dying for 20 years.
Yeah,
it happens to power like 70 to 80% of the internet, but
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah. Luckily, Elliot says, I didn't listen to them or to expert web IT. I don't know if expert web IT is being tongue-in-cheek or if they're being serious, but yeah. Anything on that? Sorry, before we move on.
I'll just say one last thing about events. So when we were planning for WordCamp, okay, so WordCamp Asia, we didn't know what it was going to be like, and it was very vibrant, super vibrant, great attendance and enthusiasm. But like you're saying, Asia is very enthusiastic generally, sorry for the non-arbitration, about WordPress. WordCamp Europe, we were worried about what was going to look like, were people going to actually be there. From our perspective, it was a really good turnout. We had a really good experience there as sponsors, and it was great. WordCamp US, same story. What's it going to be like? Oh my goodness, they only sold 500 tickets. By the way, we're not going to have enough swag. Because we're like, we hate having extra swag. So we planned for less people. But now with ticket sales being over 1,000, I think it's very possible that we'll get to, let's say, 1,300 tickets sold by the conference. That's a pretty decent turnout for a conference that everyone was wondering how it would turn out. So in-person events, they're maybe not exactly what they used to be, but people are still showing up to learn and connect and innovate. And I think that's a promising sign. And then all these additional events, Campus Connect and this and that. Wow, there's so much happening. I'm in charge of elementary sponsorships. I can't even remember all the events we're sponsoring because we get so much outreach. And I try to make sure that we support basically almost everything. I don't even know what we're supporting. There's so many. Like, I can't remember. I have to go back and reference. It's seriously so many.
I need a spreadsheet.
We need a spreadsheet. But it's like all these communities are coming together to meet up and talk about WordPress, learn about WordPress. And it's a volume. In the first half of the year, it wasn't like that. Then I could keep track. Now, forget it. I can't keep track.
Yeah.
It's picking up, I think.
Maybe we've got some mojo coming back. Maybe there is a little bit more chutzpah about the whole thing. So in reply to Jeff's post here on X, I think it's probably fair to say that at least this panel, we feel pretty confident. Dave is making his plugins. There's obviously some confidence there. Michelle's making a load of new projects inside of the WordPress space. Elementor are releasing a load of new things. There's a load of the big push to skew the audience to younger in the WordPress space. There's a big push to enable people in different parts of the world, particularly Asia and Africa, to use WordPress. Yeah, okay.
Ross makes a good point in the comments too, that there's also great community run non-WordCamp events coming up. So, you know, we had PressConf come this year, replacing Pressnomics, which was prior to the pandemic. We had some other events that are on hold, but we also have CloudFest and things like that that are really ramping up. And so there's a lot going on. You've got LoopConf coming up, like a lot of things that are WordPress related that aren't necessarily WordPress.org type events.
I have a link. Yeah, thank you, Ross, by the way. That's a good point. Yeah, okay, so that's a whole new part of the ecosystem, isn't it? People taking on events that they're obviously, you know, they're monetizing that event as opposed to it being a WordCamp. You know, they're selling tickets for a different price point, but people are still showing up. Maybe there's more of a, different focus on what those events are. Thanks, Ross. And here's one, in fact. This is happening in London. We mentioned it a couple of times, but I got sent a coupon code this week by the organizers. So there's no affiliate or anything like that. I don't think there is anyway. But if you append I guess in the discount box here. Yeah, there you go. If you put into the discount box WP Builds 50, then you can get $50 off your ticket. This is for LoopConf. It's happening next month. It's in about 6 weeks or something like that. And it's a one-day event in central London, and the tickets, the early birds have all sold out, but you can still get $50 off with the code WPBuilds50. Yeah, so there's another mention, like you just said. Thank you. Good, good. Okay. Right, let me see where we can move to now. Let's go to this one. This is kind of random. A little while ago, I had Charlotte Bax on the WP Tavern podcast, and she was mentioning, her thing is all about web sustainability, and she mentioned in that podcast that she was close to launching a project, and I got a message from Charlotte the other week to say that it's ready to go, so I just thought I'd give it a mention on this show. It's called Enor. I haven't used it, so I can't really report of it on its efficacy or anything like that. But this page is translated by Google, by the way. So if there's grammatical errors or whatever that you can see, you know, blame AI for translation. But Enor is billed as a toolbox for online sustainability. And the idea is that you've got this tool which will monitor your website and give you a report about the sustainability of it. Beyond that, I can't really tell you anything about it, but as she was such a pleasant guest, and honestly, you know, anything we can do to remove our carbon footprint is worth looking at, then I thought I'd mention it. Probably the quickest thing to do is to Google Enor, E-N-N-O-R, but the URL is enor.earth. Nice. I think that's kind of cool. And the product itself is called QuickScan, and so it appears to be ready. You can buy a license for various different license tiers. So there we go. I wanted to mention that. This is kind of interesting as well. So this is on Matt Mullenweg. Out of nowhere, I don't know if this has ever happened before. Dropping on the Tavern on Wednesday, I'm joined by Michelle, actually, this Michelle, and by Jonathan DeRosier, and we're talking about WordPress.com and WordPress.org and why that might be confusing for some people. I've never used WordPress.com except as a login mechanism to sort of like bind Jetpack to things and things like that. So I've never been a user of WordPress.com. But my understanding, and we talk about this in that podcast, is that obviously there's a free experience over there where you can get a limited subset of things, but you pay no money and you get yourself a website, which is nice. But also, if you start to pay money, you can then do things like add in theme support or add in the ability to, you know, migrate from one theme to another, use plugins and so on and so forth. But until recently, if you look on this pricing table, until recently, Michelle, correct me if I'm wrong, this business license was the one that you needed to get plugins on .com. Is that true? Have I got that? Yeah.
Yes, that's my understanding.
Yeah, okay. So
you could install some plugins on some of the other, like you could install Jetpack and things like that, right?
Okay.
But more commercial plugins. You're able to do.
So a limited subset of plugins, like the ones that Automatic produce, so Jetpack and so on. Okay, got it. Mm-hmm. But so they're running an experiment now where if you're on the personal plan, so that's, in my case, it's saying pounds. I guess it's $3 a month if you go with dollars, and it's all premium. You can now install plugins, but you've only got, so this is kind of curious, you've only got until the 25th of August if you want to buy that thing. And I don't know what that means. I don't know if that means you'll get a year of that, and then after a year, you'll have to pony up to the business account, or whether that will then be, so you'll be grandfathered into that forever and ever. But Matt, obviously the co-founder of WordPress, he is saying that for the first time ever, we're running a summer special where every single paid account gets the full WP cloud experience with full customization and control. It's a test run until the 25th of August. It's WordPress without the asterisk, without limits, implemented in a way that's intuitive. And the rest of it is, you know, kind of marketing speak. Looks like it's $4 a month, not three because of the pound difference. Anyway, I thought that was kind of interesting. And I don't know if that means that if it's a barnstorming success and they, you know, tons of people pony up and buy that, whether they'll carry on or if it's just, I don't know what that is.
but it kind of seems...
I don't have any information about what's going to happen going forward. But I have recently upgraded a few accounts to the business plan so that I can experience those and see how they work. So WP Trail Buddies is now wptrailbuddies.com. Does live at wptrailbuddies.wordpress.com still. I haven't done the whole migration thing, but I am able to add CSS, for example, and other plugins so that I can use that as a paid, on the paid plan. And my goal is recipesforlydia.wordpress.com is now just recipesforlydia.com, where I'm adding family recipes for my daughter. And so I'm experimenting with it, seeing how I like it. And so far, it's a smashing success because I could do everything in the business plan that I could and self-hosted.
Yeah, it kind of feels like these plans, though, if that was to carry on, it feels like they just become like a regular managed hosting company without the sort of strings attached of, you know, if you're on these cheaper plans, you can't have these. I mean, basically, you need the plugin ecosystem to make WordPress valuable in many people's eyes. And now they appear to be giving that away on this trial basis. Who knows?
Get the offer at the bottom of the screen to see if there's any more.
Well, if you click get the offer, basically you end up here. And obviously I'm not logged in, so I can't do anything. I did think about that earlier. But here, if you see, this is the key thing on the pricing table. It says install plugins. If you click on it, you get this little pop-up which says until August 25, unlock plugin access on new personal and premium plans. So that seems to be this offer is that basically you can get plugins on .com for the same price as you would normally have had to pay for the business account. So that's kind of interesting.
So basically what Matt says in his post, which is interesting, is that WordPress.com runs on multi-site infrastructure, right?
Yeah.
It's like the biggest multi-site infrastructure probably in the world with who knows how many sites, millions, I'm guessing.
Millions, yeah. Insane. So can you imagine that? Yeah.
It's insane that thing supports all those sites all the time. It's thanks to their server and infrastructure team led by Barry Abramson, who's a genius. And that infrastructure came with some limitations. I don't know if it's the infrastructure or their business model, but like in the lower tiers, you actually couldn't install plugins, including free ones. It was limited. In the last few years, they rolled out WP Cloud, which is kind of like the way I see it is AWS for WordPress.
Right.
So it's like, here's the bare bones, like the infrastructure, but it's more than just that. It also has services and it's tailor-made for WordPress. So, so there's your infrastructure if you want to run things and businesses on it, whatever. But here it's combining the two and allowing people to experience WP Cloud, which is not multi-site and does offer, I guess, has more flexibility. It's an interesting experiment. It'll be interesting to see how it goes, but it's interesting to see that contrast of the two infrastructures being offered and what comes with it. That's an
important point, isn't it? So if it's WP Cloud, it's not like you've just been co-opted into this massive multi-site network. You're on some sort of different infrastructure, and presumably the economies of scale mean that that's harder to kind of make work at a price point of £3 or $4 a month.
It's like fancier infrastructure, cloud, but it is theirs. And, I don't know how they run their hosting, if they have their own data centers, but if they do, then they can keep their costs pretty low. And then even WP Cloud can be relatively low cost to run and then they can offer it. By the way, I don't know if you remember, but Bluehost partnered with WordPress.com to offer WP Cloud to their users as a higher tier.
Yeah.
So that's another example of WP Cloud being put out there through like a regular hosting company in here. Anyways, this is just my understanding from the outside, but
but it is interesting. And also interesting, it's such a short timeline. So maybe they're just hoping to onboard a couple of thousand websites and just see what the heck happens. And also in the near future, it does appear that the WordPress.org flavor of the WP admin is going to become the WordPress.com flavor. So there'll be no visual difference between the two things. So
right.
It definitely changes afoot.
That's combined with the interesting work that's being done on upgrading the WordPress admin UI, right? Mm-hmm. That's being done by the core team. I think Matthias is leading that.
Yep.
I can't remember. Sorry if I'm getting that wrong. So once it's upgraded, then it's upgrade for everyone, .org and .com. And I guess that's part of that.
I think this is kind of an interesting experiment. And, you know, if you're flip-flopping about which host, then maybe that's worth ponying up for a few months just to see. It looks like you got those prices, at least that I'm looking at, are annual. So maybe you can change. Maybe this does that. I don't know. Yeah, you can pay monthly and what have you. Anyway, certainly an interesting pivot. And who knows, maybe .com will be a different creature in the days, weeks, and months to come. Speaking of hosts, last week we had Jess Frick on the show, and she was very, very, very tight-lipped about what she was going to be doing in the future. And she said, you'll have to wait and see. And we waited and saw, and now I can't find the article. Where's Jess gone? Is that it? No. There we are. There's Jess. She's gone to Rocket.net, so another WordPress host. She's becoming the general manager, so like super senior, over at Rocket.net. She was previously with Pressable, but as of now, and I think for the last month, she's been working over at Rocket.net. Coincidentally, and I think it is a coincidence, they also put out some PR information this week, which paints a very rosy picture. If it's all to be believed, they're going gangbusters at the moment. I don't really know how to parse information like this, because obviously it is a press release, and so it's bound to be couched in, you know, very affirmative language and what have you. But according to this, they are the, if you were to rank companies, they are number 167 on the 2025 Inc. 5000 list of America's fastest growing private companies, which I presume means that they're having some sort of stratospheric growth. So good time to join, Jess. So congratulations to her.
Jess is amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, they're lucky to have her.
Yes.
And Ben Gabler was running Rocket.net. He's just powering forward at such a pace, and you can see it in their growth, which is super impressive.
Mm-hmm.
So it's good for all of them.
I don't even really understand how you cut through the noise with WordPress hosting. I just don't understand how you can like grow at a seismic rate, because there's just so many and they all have to speak the same language. You know, they're all
it's all in the marketing,
yeah,
and the differentiation.
Yeah. What they've done different then in that case. I wonder if it's just, you know, like that amazing domain authority they've got when they bought Rocket.net. It's kind of a brilliant name. I don't know what they've done differently, but obviously something's sticking. So well done to them.
I think it's basically quality support, and as Ben sort of says, not charging commodity prices of like $3 a month for your hosting, it's cheap as chips. I actually charge like $30 for your single site, so you can actually afford to have a good support team and people behind it, mm-hmm. and the infrastructure and things. So disclaimer, I've got a few sites in Rocket as well, and like them on that side, but yeah, they're charging prices that mean they can actually grow and provide a good service rather than just being raced to the bottom, which never wins.
So what is it? When you bought their stuff, what tipped you over? Was it the support? It sounds like you mentioned
I had quite a few sites. We're 20i in the UK, because I was kind of just starting on the small hosting side, and I had all the bits on there. But I had one client 2 years back who wanted like a site that was like hot on the performance side of things. So through sort of Rocket's marketing a bit, on their sort of speed and time to first bytes and things, and just their other blog posts and bits they put out there, I thought, yeah, give them a try on that side. They had a support team behind that could migrate a site from there across rather than relying on your tools and things. But yeah, I think it's just basically the quality support and things behind that. Even so, Ben said himself a few times, he's then popped in and replied to tickets just so he can see what's going on in the coal face to get an understanding for what's going on, rather than like, oh, we're running short on people, I've got to help in. It's like, I want to see what's running in my own business on that side. So yeah, I'm with two hosts and they're one of them.
Whenever I go to a new website, especially in the WordPress space, my journey goes like this. I end up at the homepage and then I just scroll up and down quickly, you know, just do the kind of like the eye candy bit, just what the heck are they doing? Then almost immediately I end up on the pricing page and I'll have a scan around there. And then my third port of call, which is where I really want to get to, is the about page. And I will read the about page. In fact, that's the most important metric for me, is who the heck are you? And obviously a company like Rocket.net, their about page is probably going to look really credible now. You know, if they can point to these press articles and all the different websites that they've no doubt got on their domain. But uniquely for hosting, the thing which will turn me off them quickly is rubbish support. And I'm currently with a host that I really like. I won't mention any names because it's, you know, why would I? But they have Intercom, you know, that little chat widget thing in the bottom right-hand corner. And when I click that, I can count on one hand the amount of seconds it takes for me to get a real human. It's like usually like 4 seconds before a real human drops in. And typically they have got the answer. So it's pretty clear to me that they're not employing like tier one, tier two, tier three. I think everybody's tier three. And I'm just totally sold on that. I just in case they're listening, I'm not going to, but I would pay twice as much.
Next week's article, so-and-so host increases pricing for single customer.
Yeah. But that whole piece of mind thing, right? It's so important. It's the one thing that I will pay through the nose for is that hosting.
When I was running Stratic, I said most SaaS products, and that includes hosting, is 50% the product and 50% the support. Yeah. Your product is only as good as your support. If it's not excellent, people will go elsewhere. And that can be one of your major selling points. And so if a company like Rocket or the one that you're hosting with shows that. What Rocket, I think, also shows, which is interesting from a business perspective, is that you can enter a space that seems super saturated.
Yeah.
Right? Hosting. But also an industry that's kind of like legacy and old, WordPress, and supposedly isn't growing. And if you position yourself correctly, marketing and sales, I don't know if they do sales. It's probably a lot of word of mouth. Bringing expertise to the table, et cetera, focusing on specific value points that you really emphasize, then you can do well, even in that kind of market. There's no such thing as something that doesn't work. And by the way, the race to the bottom also works, unfortunately. But there are hosting companies in our space that do amazingly well by racing to the bottom, which makes it hard for everyone else. Because customer support is super expensive. It just is. Like providing that, which is what we expect, right? It's just, it costs a lot. So, but both, all things work. And all these companies position themselves in a certain place and can find success there. It's interesting.
Yeah, I mean, incredible. I think the first time I'd heard of Rocket.net was probably, I don't know, maybe 4 years ago. Maybe I'm being a bit optimistic. I don't know if they're actually a lot older than that or what have you. They weren't on my radar, and now they seem to be everywhere. Whatever they've done is pretty impressive. So congratulations to them for hiring Jess, because we all know Jess is brilliant. And congratulations, awesome. Jess, to you for doing that as well, taking that job. Okay, so let's imagine a scenario where you're sitting around to yourself, you know, you're bored one day and you think, do you know what I need? I need more WordPress AI music in my life, because, you know, I'm sure we've all done it. Just bored on a Sunday, like, what the heck am I going to do with my Sunday? I could do the chores, or I could sit down and I could go here. Oh, I don't know what to say about this. They got a great URL. It's wlog.fm. Unfortunately, I can't play my system audio. It won't allow it, so I can't play. But this is basically a never-ending source of AI-generated music all about WordPress. So, for example, at the moment, if I was to click play, I would be delighted to hear the song WordPress Queen. But just a short click away, I've got a song called Broken Faith.
I want to know who's behind. Do we know who's behind this?
I have no idea, but it's just genius. I've got Broken Family. I mean, it's going to sell right to the top of the charts, isn't it? And then another song. Plug-in conflict. It's so good. Plug-in conflict. WordCamp nostalgia. My masterpiece, no doubt about.
Like, I have one on my screen called Staging versus Production.
Have a listen. Just listen to it in your own ears, because, you know, and then what about the actual website itself, wlog.fm, WordPress Radio, all the, they ran out of space. The characters so gets truncated there. One called Child Theme. So now you know what you know what to do with your life. Go and listen to this. I mean, they're made by AI, so your mileage may vary. But I had a good chuckle. I don't know if it's making them on the fly or if it's just, you know, they've made 50 of them and put them on this website, but
Being the geek I am, I think they just kind of pre-generated them because you can see in the page source, you've got all the things that have been in the player. So,
okay, there's a few. Okay, they've got a podcast player or something like that going. Okay, brilliant.
This one says 404, feeling lost.
Okay, exactly. It's so good. Dave Dunn, he's already giggling. He says, I should definitely check out WLog after the year. Stick it on your YouTube channel, Dave. Make it so that we can all listen to them. The very last one. There were so many bits and pieces that we could have got to today. I will get to this one probably last. I don't know what to make of this. Usually things in the WordPress space get more expensive, or you know, more things get added in and it costs more money. I'm curious as to what's going on here. So Shortcart, I don't know much about Shortcart, but I know it's kind of like a rival to WooCommerce. Let's go with that. It's an entire e-commerce platform. It's by Adam Preiser and I believe Andre Gagnon as well. They're the two people behind it. Maybe there's more, apologies if there are. For a while, they had fees attached to some of the different add-ons that you could get. So, for example, if you wanted order bumps, they would charge a fee, but not like a fee like you'd pay for their extension. They would add in a fee onto the transaction cost. So let's say that somebody ordered an order bump, they would get 1.9% of that order bump, which felt like a pretty incredible business model for them. So I don't know what's forced this about face, but that's all gone. They've decided to get rid of these extra fees. And I don't know why. My only thought is that coming round the corner is a new rival called FluentCart, which if you've ever come across their products, you know, Fluent Forms, Fluent CRM, they've got a whole load of different things in the WordPress space. They're probably going to be treading fairly heavily on the toes of Shortcart in the near future. So I don't really know what's going on there. But anyway, if you've got Shortcart, you're making money out of it, you're about to make about 1.9% more. Wow, there you go. Things apparently get cheaper.
By the way, there's another company that lowered their prices recently, which I saw.
Go on.
NitroPack.
Did they?
Yeah. They lowered their prices.
Just like that?
They were like, I'm pretty sure it was them. They were like, we can, so we did. It was something like that.
Interesting. You wonder if it's commercial pressure, like some other rival, like hot rival is coming along, or if it's just literally, why not? You know, we're doing
it. Why not? In a world of rising prices, it's a nice way to create some positive sentiment. And maybe, you know, it's a little bit of the race to the bottom, but not exactly if you retain your quality and... It's a nice thing to do for your users.
Yeah, the interesting thing here is I don't think anything about the product has changed, just the pricing. So whatever you had before, I think you now have the same. They just don't cream off this little fee. You know, in the same way that Stripe does, right? You pay a transaction, you expect Stripe to take a bit. Well, they were adding in their little fee as well. So anyway, they've taken that away. So there you go. I think that's it. We've reached our 90-minute mark. Is there anything else that I missed? Our panel, anything you wanted me to add that I didn't? No, we're all good. Okay. In which case, I will say, Miriam, I'll see you next week.
Is it next week?
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Michelle, so I'll see you next week as well.
I'll see you both also, yeah.
Dave, I don't know when I'll see you.
I can't go anywhere.
I'm so sorry. You need to sell more ClickTok licenses. Yeah. Let's try and make that happen.
Yeah.
Click here.
But we will see you in a couple of weeks' time. I believe the show's coming back. Depending on how jet-lagged I am, we'll be back in 2 weeks' time. So thank you for joining us. As always, the show is kept alive by the comments, so thank you so much if you endeavoured to make a comment. Really appreciate it. The links, as always, will be in the show notes. Head to wpbuilds.com and search for episode number 345 of This Week in WordPress. And only one thing that remains is the humiliating hand wave of joy. That's now what I'm calling it, the humiliating hand wave of joy. And look, they're all...
Fuji jazz hands.
Even the vaguest humiliation anyway. There you go. Thank you so much, Michelle Frechette. Thank you, Dave. Thank you, Miriam. We will see you soon. If you guys want to stick around for a natter, feel free. We'll see you in a couple of weeks' time. Take it easy. Bye-bye.
Bye.